Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 387, stanzas 1 through 4. To God my earnest voice I raise, to God my voice imploring praise. Before his face my grief I show, and tell my trouble and my woe. 1 through 4 of Psalter 387. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to John, the 13th chapter, John chapter 13. But first we will read the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. John chapter 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he ariseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, then thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Master and your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the Scripture may be fulfilled, He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you, before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of them, who it should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, Whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Chad Outsorn, who must receive his procedure again in this coming week, and also Mrs. Tilly Van Sluis, who must have day surgery on Friday. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, it is again thy day. It is again a day wherein we may separate ourselves from all the labors that are in this world in an attempt to get through this life, to continue in the flesh in our bodies. But Lord, we also need to go out of this life. And when we may come together in this morning, then we also may be given to meditate upon thy holy word. We have read a little portion together. Lord, thou hast loved thy people. And having loved them, thou loved them even unto the end. And it was evident even in those hours before that thou didst give thyself unto that awful and cursed death of the cross. When thou didst give unto thy church what was necessary, the instructions, the preparations for all that was to come. Thou hast commanded them to love one another. Lord, that it may be evident also in the midst of us that thy love dwelleth in us when we love one another, that we may seek the welfare of one another, the true, the eternal welfare, as thou hast sought it for thy own people. And Lord, when thou hast washed the feet of thy disciples, thou gavest unto them an example, that they also should do the same. Oh, may it be the practice in the midst of us as a congregation, so to bow before thee and before one another. But Lord, thou saidst also unto thy servant, that except thou wouldst wash him, then he would have no part with thee. O Lord, remember then each and every one of us. Oh, that we may be given, even as thy servant Peter, to feel so much of that corruption that lies within, that we may see the necessity to be washed from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, that we could not do without thee. Oh, Lord, grant us a desire and a need in our heart, for that blessed work of thine only begotten Son. Oh, that it may be applied also to us in a personal way, and unto our own dear children. Oh, give us to gather instruction and out of thy word in our hearts,
that that longing may be born within, that hunger and that thirst after Thee, the true, the living God, and that Thy dear Son may find a place in our hearts by the revelation of Thy Holy Spirit unto those who are undone, unto those who cannot make it right anymore. Lord, may they also be in the midst of us. Oh, that Thy Spirit may be busy working from day unto day amongst young and old, to open our eyes for that reality concerning our own state and condition by nature, to work that true sorrow for sin that we cannot give unto ourselves, and to bring to that such utter and complete despair of all that is from our own side, our own righteousness, our own wisdom, and our own strength, that it may become from our side so impossible, in order that Thy dear Son may be revealed in all His beauty. Lord, it is a people that shall magnify Him as the white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. Oh, may it be also in the midst of us felt and experienced, that we also may be among those who may sing that new song which Thou dost put in the mouth of every one of those that Thou showest that deep pit and that miry clay, and who deliverest them and settest them upon that rock. Lord, Thou wilt receive all the glory, and it is due unto Thee, and not only as our Creator, but also as the Redeemer and as the Mediator of Thy Church. Lord, remember us. Oh, we cannot give it unto ourselves. We are such wretched and poor creatures. We are so sunken in the depth of iniquity. Our heart so cleaves unto the world. And we have no spiritual life because we have fallen according to Thy threat. In the day that Thou eatest thereof, Thou shalt surely die. Oh, it needs to be given by Thee. Oh, Thou Sovereign One. Oh, He who dost according to Thine own good pleasure. Oh, could it please Thee also in this day to bless Thy Word, to come in the midst of us and to work mightily amongst young and old. Oh, look Thou upon our youth. Oh, keep them from all that is coming against them by the wiles of the prince of darkness in our days. Lord, He breaks down all the fences. He breaks down everything that we seek to protect our children with. Oh, that Thou would show it unto our youth and unto our children, that they may try to stay near to that side of safety, but that they also may be given a cry to Thee, the Most High God, as He that is stronger than that strong man armed, that Thou would come and that Thou would keep them and that Thou would preserve them from all evil and from sin. Lord, instruct them by Thy Spirit. Oh, give them in the days of their youth to remember their Creator and to desire to again receive His blessed communion. Strengthen us as parents. Oh, give us wisdom, but give us also faithfulness to lead them, to guide them, to protect them, but also to bring them unto Thy throne of grace, unto Thee who hast all the power in heaven and in earth. Oh, give that from among them may also be built Thy kingdom in this world and for that world to come. Lord, remember all those who cannot have children Remember all those that are single. Be with all those that are widows and widowers and orphans and those that go over this life alone, that have sorrows, that have crosses, that are lonely. Oh, may Thou be on their right and on their left. Help us, Lord, each one to bear the burdens of one another. And may Thou take it over for all that are oppressed and all that are afflicted. Do remember all those that are handicapped, those that are afflicted, and the many that are sick, children and youth in these days, even amongst us. Lord, may Thou give health and strength to each and every one. And may Thou give us also a little impression of our frailty, that we have here no continuing city, that we might seek one to come. Oh, bring it also in the hearts of the young ones, but also of the older ones. When our hearts, they are grown hard under the preaching and the reading of Thy word, our life long, Lord, then it can be that there are also many fears, knowing what we stand in need of, and knowing that the old must die and that our time is short and that we miss the very first beginnings of that work of Thy grace. Lord, may Thou give them even in old age to cry to Thee, to beseech Thee for mercy, and that Thou may hear from heaven Thy dwelling place. Remember those that must go into the hospital in the week to come, her that must receive surgery, and also the young child once again. Lord, remember both of them together and watch over them for good. And wilt Thou strengthen and give wisdom to all doctors, nurses, and caregivers for them and for all those who are afflicted in this life. We remember also those who will be traveling in this week, some to leave their families and to depart far away, and another to come home once again from the old country. Lord, remember each one, and wilt Thou give traveling mercies and bring us safely together again at Thy appointed time. Lord, go with us this day. All we are together again, and what can we say to Thee? Oh, there is nothing that we can lay before Thee. From our side is a reason that Thou shouldest look and remember us together with our children in this day. But Lord, we beseech Thee to look upon the Son of Thy love in all that mediatorial way in which He has traveled, wherein He has put away the consequences of sin, but also sin itself. O Lord, may Thou look upon that blood, and wilt Thou receive him, and may Thou receive us through him, that Thou may see us in him, and therefore without spot and without wrinkle, and therefore able to say, deliver them from going down into the pit, for I have found a ransom. Oh, may not one of us, we or our children, be on the outside of that great and necessary blessing. But Lord, look upon us in Thy mercy, and deal with us in Thy compassion and in Thy long-suffering mercies. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 31, stanzas 3 through 7. O Thou that ever savest those whose trust on Thee is stayed, preserving them from all their foes by Thy almighty aid. Let me in Thy loving kindness see,
Thy wondrous mercy, full and free. 3 through 7 of Psalter number 31.
Thank you.
Congregation, there is a saying in this world that little children step on the toes of their parents, and that older children, they step on their hearts. What do you think, boys and girls, young people, is causing more pain unto your father and to your mother? And when you would step on their toes, or when you would step on their heart, what a pain, what a suffering was experienced by David, that he had to express that was much greater than the cursing of Shimei. What did he say? He said, "My own son has risen up against me." Thus, there was a pain that David has felt that was much greater than other pains, and those pains, they are much greater, especially than physical pains. Who can imagine, who can fathom the pain that the Lord Jesus has suffered in that awful death when he was nailed unto that cursed tree? Then we can hear from those who are able to explain a little bit and what that pain is in the hands, in the feet, with all of the tendons and the nerves and the muscles that are therein. And when he was hung upon that cross, thus, that was for him a most painful death. And yet we must say that it was the suffering of the soul of the Lord Jesus that was so much greater than that suffering that he must suffer in his body. We read a number of times that the Lord Jesus has sighed deeply in his heart. We read that the Lord Jesus has groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And that suffering in his soul that has increased even more at the end of his life, until that he had to say unto his disciples that my soul that is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. And it is something of that soul suffering that we wish with the help of the Lord to consider in this morning hour from the words of our text, which you can find in that portion that was read to you, John 13, and thereof the 21st verse. John 13, verse 21. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." So far the words of our text. Christ troubled in spirit. First, the greatness of this trouble. Second, the cause of this trouble. And third, the fruit of this trouble. Christ troubled in spirit. First, the greatness of this trouble. Second, the cause of this trouble. And third, the fruit of this trouble. We read in our text, congregation, about betrayal. What is that? To betray, that is to break faith with. That is to go over to the side of the enemy. That is to be a traitor. That is to deceive. Why did Saul, boys and girls, put Ahimelech and his sons to death? Because Saul said to Ahimelech, "You are a traitor. You have taken the side of my enemy." That is because of what Doeg has said to him, which again was on account actually of the lie of David. Betrayal. Betrayal, congregation, involves deceit. So what do? We pretend that we are someone's friend, but actually we are his enemy. We read of Ehud that he went to Eglon and he presented a gift to Eglon. He came to Eglon just as if he was his friend. And because he brought such a gift, then Eglon has trusted him to close the doors. And then it became evident that he was no friend. Joab has also done such awful things. We can read that he has taken Abner aside in the gate. He said to Abner, "I want to speak to you." And instead of speaking to him as a friend, we read that he smote Abner under that fifth rib. He has done the same unto Amasa. "Art thou in health, my brother?" And he takes him by the beard to give him a kiss. And he does not realize that there is a sword in his hand. Thus Solomon says, "He speaketh fair, but there are seven abominations in his heart." That is the deceit that is in the heart of such a betrayer. That deceit that is over against what? Deceit that is over against honesty. Deceit that is over against trustworthiness. Deceit that is over against faithfulness. Faithfulness, honesty, that is the way of the Lord. Because the Lord is a God of truth, and he has no communion with dishonesty, with betrayal. Does that mean that the Lord is obliged to tell his enemies everything? No. But that he has nothing to do with deceit. Jehu's false zeal was evident by the means that Jehu used to attempt to bring forth a reformation in among the people of the Lord. Ahab served Baal much, but Ahab served Baal a little, but Jehu shall serve him much. Then he brings all those prophets of Baal, and in a way of deceit, in a way of betrayal of their trust, then he slays them. Was that not a right thing to put them to death? Oh, yes. Was that not a right thing that he would seek a reformation in the land? Oh, yes. But the means, the way that he has gone about it was not right. Thus we say the end, our final purpose, does not justify, does not make right every means that we would attempt to use to get to that purpose. Betrayal, congregation, that is an evil. And David speaks about the great suffering also in his own life under this evil. We can read that in Psalm 55. He says, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked in the house of God in company." Thus, who was that in David's life? Or could that even have been an Ahithophel? David, he says, "I could have borne it if that was what was done to me by my enemy." But he says, "It is the betrayal part that I feel the suffering from the most." Thus, the Lord Jesus is saying to his disciples that also in the last days, and that many shall betray one another. Fathers and mothers and children, what an awful, awful suffering. Not only a physical suffering, but an inward suffering shall be because of such a betrayal. And our congregation, the Lord Jesus, he has come so low for the sake of the salvation of his church, even to undergo in his human personhood that awful betrayal, to subject himself to be betrayed, we read, by a friend. Read that in Matthew 26. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto him, "What will ye give me? And I will betray him unto you." And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Did that take the Lord Jesus by surprise? That the Lord Jesus did not know what was going to happen to him? No. No, that betrayal, that did not take the Lord Jesus by surprise at all. No, we read just the opposite, that he is saying unto his disciples, "Behold, we go to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes." Thus the Lord Jesus knew everything that was going to happen to him. It was for that reason that the Lord Jesus did not disclose that place of that Last Supper to his disciples. Do you remember how he did that, boys and girls? That he has sent two of his disciples to prepare for that supper, but he did not say to all his disciples exactly where, but he said that you will find a man carrying a pitcher of water and you must follow him into that room where he goes. What will the Lord Jesus do? He will hide it for a moment from Judas, because the Lord Jesus will not be disturbed and that Last Supper that he will commemorate with his disciples. No, the Lord Jesus knew what was going to happen. And here we read that he says, "Verily, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." And later on we read that he says to his disciples, "Rise up, let us be going, because he that betrayeth me is at hand." Thus, the Lord Jesus knew that there was a spy in the midst of them. And the Lord Jesus knew it. And yet it was to him, we read here, a troubling of his spirit. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." Why was he then troubled in spirit? Because the Lord Jesus also knew the source of this great evil. The Lord Jesus knew where that this evil was coming from. There are certain sins that are in a particular, that are in a very special way, diabolical. There are certain sins that are coming, we would say, straight out of hell. Then there are certain sins that Satan is working in a very special, direct manner. And this sin that is not attributed only to Judas, but we read that it is even attributed unto Satan. "Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and scribes how he might betray him unto them." Thus it was not just a sin of infirmity, it was not just a sin of weakness in one of these disciples of the Lord Jesus, but it was one of those deliberate, fiery darts of Satan that is coming out of hell and that is working within the wicked over whom that Satan has control. We read that the serpent is more subtle than any beast of the field. The serpent more subtle. Why? Because of that animal? No. But it was because of the devil who has put himself within that animal. And Satan knows how to get a hold of his prey. Because he is not giving them to do the worst of sin immediately, but Satan is first putting suggestions, young people, first suggestions in our heart that Satan gives a person to dabble with the thoughts of sin and to take hold of sin in steps just little by little. Judas was a covetous man, and we know what Judas felt when that precious, expensive ointment was what he considered wasted upon the Lord Jesus. And then Satan is putting it in the heart of Judas that he will receive that money in a different way. Satan has plenty to work with in the heart of man. Because the heart of man that is prone to evil thoughts and prone to evil desires, then it is not difficult for Satan to blow up into a flame that wretchedness that is lying in our heart. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Thus the enemy is glad. That is always the case in a betrayal. In a betrayal, then it is the enemy that is rejoicing. It is the enemy that is mocking. Then the enemy says, see, we are right. Look now, even one of the disciples of the Lord Jesus himself, he is turning to our side. He sees that he is the false prophet. He sees, even being with him day by day, he has heard all his speeches. He has heard all his discourses. He sees through it that it is not really that Savior, that Mediator, that Messiah that is to come. Oh, what a dishonor that a betrayal is bringing to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, the Lord Jesus says it was good for this man if he had never been born. And yet the Lord Jesus is willing to submit himself to such a dishonorable betrayal that is coming straight out of that pit of darkness. The Lord Jesus is willing to be troubled in his spirit because of those sharp arrows of his arch enemy. The Lord Jesus is willing to subject himself to the most cruel of all of the diabolical inventions out of hell. Why is he willing to do that? We see that in our second thought, the cause of this trouble, all the trouble, all the suffering of the Lord Jesus that has a cause, and it also has a purpose. Not only the suffering of his body, but also the suffering of his soul. The suffering of the Lord Jesus is a payment for the sin of his church. Thus, what is the cause? The cause of that suffering is then the sin of that church. And then what is the purpose? The payment for that sin is the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, what sin is that sin which has made it necessary for the Lord Jesus to suffer in such a way? Then we have to go first back to paradise. Because in paradise, that is where man was involved in that first betrayal. That is that place that our first father has turned over unto the side of the enemy. And that he has chosen that side of the enemy. You say it was under the temptation of the devil. That is true. And yet we are not free from that. And why not? Because temptation or no temptation, the will of man was free. That was completely free to accept it or to reject it. And responsibility, accountability is based on the freedom of our will. If our will was not free, if we were forced to do something, then we lose our accountability. Then it lies in that one who has forced us to do it. But our responsibility that is lying in our freedom to choose, and so that was with our first parents. And not only so, it was not as if a freedom to choose good or bad was even equal. It was not as if even it was the same for Adam to choose one way or to choose the other way. No. Why not?
Because what was that nature that the Lord has placed in our first parents in their creation? That was like young people, boys and girls, a tree that is leaning to one side. Then that nature of Adam that was only towards to do the good. That is the way the Lord has created him. And the Lord has created him with nothing of a desire for evil. He never sought it out. That was not in his nature, as it is in ours today. It was just the opposite. In his nature was to seek out everything to the honor of the Lord, to seek out everything which was to the Lord's glory. And it is actually against that bent of the nature of man that our first parents have willfully, have deliberately, have knowingly turned away from the Lord and have chosen that way of Satan. Thus, they willingly suffered themselves to be convinced by the devil and purposely and deliberately taken his side. That was not just the act of taking of that fruit. No, but that was a sign of something. That was a sign of something that was living in their heart. It was a betrayal. A betrayal of the Lord. They have willingly forsaken him and his commandments. What have they done? They have charged him with lying. Because they have chosen the lie of Satan over the truth of God. Satan says, "Thou shalt not die." That is what they believed. When the Lord says, "Thou shalt die."
Or what now is the proper punishment for such a people? What now do such a people deserve who have completely betrayed the Lord and chosen that side of that serpent? What do we deserve? And we deserve to be left over to that serpent. When we have left the Lord, then we deserve to be forever separated from him. Do you ever feel that? And then we deserve not only temporal and spiritual death, but also eternal death. And not only have we left the Lord, but we have also chosen the devil. Is it then a strange thing? Is it then a strange punishment when the Lord would leave us forever over to the wiles of that same devil? When we have chosen his authority, would that then be a strange thing if the Lord would leave us forever to suffer under the deceitful practices of that prince of darkness and to be forever the objects of his laughter and of his mockery? And if that sin had been only once, and we had truly repented of that sin, and we had turned back unto the Lord, then we can imagine how that the Lord, he might have mercy upon us. But congregation, how is that now in the life of God's true church? Are they done with deceit? Are they done with guile? Are they finished with betraying the Lord in their life? that were only so. But it continues. Why was it that the Lord had to say to that angel of the church of Ephesus that thou hast left thy first love? Why is it that Solomon, he is drawing a picture of that bridegroom knocking upon the door of that bride who is sleeping on that bed of slothfulness? Why? Why is it that this world that has such a large place yet in the heart of God's true church? Oh, for what have they betrayed him? What is the life of that people but a life of unfaithfulness in the seeking out of the gods of this world, of the vanity that is in this world, when the Lord has been so gracious to lift them out of that horrible pit and of that miry clay? How do they then treat the Lord? How often is there not in their heart actually a secret league with that enemy? And a leaving of the Lord so easy in his place. Does that church not make itself worthy every day again, anew, of being left over by the Lord unto the enemy? Or is there not reason that the Lord needs to suffer thus? Is there not a just judgment that needs to be suffered, to be satisfied? Is there not a righteous payment that needs to be made? Did the Lord Jesus not, by suffering such a betrayal, suffer a well-deserved punishment for his church? For a people whose heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked? Or is that not the blessed fruit, therefore, that people will experience by that suffering? Let us sing first from Psalter number 363, stanzas 1 through 5. From the depths do I invoke thee, Lord, to me thou incline thy ear. To my voice be thou attentive, and my supplication hear. 1 through 5. Of Psalter 363. Our last thought is the blessed fruit of this trouble of the Spirit of Christ. What is now the blessed fruit that is flowing out of that trouble? That is congregation, the faithfulness of the Lord. From eternity, the Lord has made a covenant. And a covenant that was made between the Father and the Son. And that covenant concerned His church and has rich promises for His church, but could not be fulfilled outside of that mediatorial labor of His Son. But in His Son, now that justice of God has been satisfied, and that punishment of the Lord against that sin, that betrayal of God that lays on the account of His church, that has been completely paid. And that way is now open for God to show faithfulness unto such a church. And thus the Lord Jesus Christ, He has subjected Himself to such a wicked act of betrayal. Why? That He with His Father may show faithfulness unto His church. Never will they be deceived. Never will that church be betrayed by Him. Notice Psalmist says there is no unrighteousness in Him. How necessary, congregation, is the assurance for the people of the Lord. The consolation of the people of the Lord. Why? Because what does the Lord Jesus say? He says, O ye of little faith. And not only so, but because the devil has not changed. And we said what the devil has done already in paradise, to say to the creature of the Lord, it is not true what the Lord has said. And the devil has not changed. That also unto that true church of God, that the devil is coming, and he is saying to that people that it is not true what the Lord has said. No, he says, it is all going to deceive you in the end. That the promise of the Lord, that is not a faithful promise. And now why is it that such a lie of the devil has such a place in the heart of God's true people? And why is such a lie of the devil so able to take hold of the soul of that church, to cast them down, that they may be despondent? O congregation, is there not a people in our midst that know what it is to be brought by that Holy Spirit of the Lord to an end of all of your own creature righteousness? Is there not a people to whom that Spirit has shown what your well-deserved punishment is? Or when He has caused you to despair of all hope from your own side? And when He has opened unto you only that awful pit and what you deserve because of your own sin. When He has brought you to confess your transgression before the Lord because you could not hold it any longer. And when He has brought you to cry out, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner, smiting upon your breast. Or is it not that the Lord has also opened to you a way? That the Lord has also shown to you something of that blessed work of that dear Son of God? That the Lord has given you a little opening to see that there is a way? that it is still possible also even for such a one as I am. Why? Because he is able to save to the uttermost all those that come unto God by him. Oh, has the Lord not shown that he is the way, that he is the life, that he is the truth? And then what? Oh, then you could believe it. Oh, then you had to believe it. Because the Lord, he is working that faith. And the Lord is strengthening that faith. And the Lord is giving you in that moment to believe. Oh, then it is so sure. And it is so firm in him who has covenanted with his Father. And who has taken over everything from the shoulders of his people. Oh, did that not humble you so in the dust to come before God as Mephibosheth? To say, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? But congregation, let the times roll over that once. Let the power subside from this. Let the carnality of your heart then somewhat take over. Let the Lord withdraw a little with his presence and with his nearness. Let the Lord lead such a people into the wilderness, into a dry, into a barren land. Let something of that inward corruption show forth itself. That day by day they may see that wretchedness that still remains in their heart and that is manifesting itself in all its ugliness. Then what do those people begin to fear? Oh, how the devil then is able to take hold of such a people. Why? Because they learn how wretched and deceitful is their own heart. That I am actually ready to betray him in one moment. That I can leave him days without number for this world. Oh, how often is that church not portrayed in the Word of God as an unfaithful wife who has forsaken her husband, betrayed him. And now, if they have not a faithful, covenant-keeping God, then what? Then it is impossible. What do they deserve? They deserve that the Lord would say, yes, I said it, that is true, but I won't do it anymore. Look at you. Look at your life. Look at what you are. Look at what you remain. Do you live as a stranger and as a pilgrim on the earth? Is your treasure in heaven? Where I am sitting at the right hand of God? Can you betray me day after day? Or is it any wonder that people can hardly believe that the Lord would ever look upon them in mercy again? Is it not the greatest and the most unexpected thing for such a people that they would be shown mercy after they have left him, after received grace? No, we do not need to speak about the faithfulness on the side of God to a people who do not sin it away every day? No, because then their own faithfulness is enough. Then they are worthy that the Lord should continue to bless them, to look upon them. But that wonder of that faithfulness of God that is manifested in the lives of those who sin it away every day again, then they can hardly understand how that the Lord does not cast them away from Him forever. They make themselves worthy of it by their daily betrayal. When saw we thee an hungered and fed thee? When saw we thee athirst and gave thee drink? Oh, it is a wonder if they may take even but the place of a servant, if they may have but the lowest place in that kingdom of God, a wonder if they may even be privileged to be allowed to touch the hem of His garment. And congregation, how impossible for such a people now to exercise faith, especially when everything comes against them and when all the circumstances in their life, they make it look otherwise. Especially when there is nothing but darkness in their soul. But when Paul was in the midst of that storm, what do we read? That the Lord Himself stood by Paul in that night. What did He say to him? Fear not, Paul. Fear not. What does that tell us? What was lying in the heart of Paul? Fear. Say, why? Was he not a justified man? Could he not die? He also lived the life of that warring church. And what did Paul have to say? The good that I would, I do not. And the evil that I would not, that I do. And therefore the necessity for the Lord in that troublous dark night, wherein many days neither sun nor star has appeared, for the Lord to stand by Paul in that night and to say unto that servant of the Lord, fear not. No, he says, Paul, it shall not be. Why not? Because God is not a man that He should lie. And He is not the Son of Man that He should repent. Will God make Himself then as a Judas? Will God make Himself then even as the devil himself? Oh, every suggestion that the devil is putting in the heart of His people to such an end that is nothing but coming out of hell. The Lord knows what His people are. The Lord knows what His people remain. And for them He has paid a price. He has paid a price in the body. He has paid a price in the soul. And for them He has suffered Himself to be betrayed into the hands of sinners. Why? That He may show Himself faithful unto a people that are betraying Him over and over in their life. Oh, may it be to the comfort of an undeserving people and for instruction in what it means free and sovereign grace and mercy. A congregation, the faithfulness of the Lord, that concerns not only in the carrying out of the promises to His people, despite who they are. But it concerns also the carrying out, we heard it, of the threat unto the wicked and to the disobedient. And the devil continues to say that God is a liar. The devil continues to say to us, ye shall not surely die. And that is what we believe. Do we believe the Lord? Do we believe His word? Do we believe He is omniscient? Do we believe that He sees everything, that He is just? Do we believe how that He has created us, good and upright? Do we believe how that we have fallen so deeply? Is there any sorrow in our heart that we have betrayed, that we have left Him so? There is by nature none. And that is the reason that we have no place in our heart by nature for this mediator who gave Himself to be betrayed into the hands of sinners. No place in our heart for Him. Or is it different? Congregation, if that is so, that we see no beauty in that suffering, oh, then ask, then beseech the Lord to show you yourself. Because when we may come to see ourselves, and when we may come to see the impossibility from our side, oh, then this suffering mediator in body and in soul shall also become to us so precious, white and ready, the chiefest among 10,000. Amen. Lord of heaven and of earth, do look upon Thy people. Give them an eye to see Thee, who hast accomplished everything, and who steadfastly continues in His way, though they deceitfully walk day by day and betray Him over and over. Lord, give them to look upon Thee and to rest in that blood, to turn away from sin, to walk uprightly, and give us all to see what our sin is. Make Thyself precious and necessary and suitable. Forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 241 stanzas 1 through 4. My song forever shall record the tender mercies of the Lord. Thy faithfulness will I proclaim, and every age shall know Thy name. 1 through 4 of Psalter 241. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.